So thank you, Kat. Thanks for busting my balls a little bit on that. Probably well deserved. But it's coming, I promise. Diz Runs Radio, episode 525 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, don't look now, but it's February tomorrow. Time flies when you're having fun. Hope the first month of 2018 went well for you. Hope you had a great January, starting the year strong, getting your base of fitness back underneath you, and hopefully, you know, this will kind of be a month that is really going to springboard you to having a very successful year in 2018. It is the end of the month, which means it is time for a little listener Q&A, shall we? You ask, I'll answer. One of those types of things. Before we dive into the questions, just want to plug myself a little bit. That could have came out wrong, but anyway, we'll digress and continue on along. If you're looking for someone to help you reach your running goals this year, I've got some openings available on the coaching front. So the Coterie and one-to-one coaching both have, I have a couple openings in the Coterie and probably 4, 5, 6, something like that. I have to double check my numbers, but a good number in the one-to-one coaching level. So if you want some help getting faster, running farther, staying healthy, basically moving towards your goals, that's the name of the game. What can we do to help you get towards your running goals? Let's talk. Dizruns.com/coaching is the page on the website that's kind of have this just the overview on my coaching ideas in general. And near the bottom of that page, there's links to each of the different levels of coaching. So you can get all the fine print, all the details, all the cost information, everything's there. Not trying to hide anything from you or be sneaky. Check it out. Dizruns.com/coaching. And if you have any questions, please ask and I'll be happy to answer those for you and help you to hopefully make the decision that's right for you, whether that is to work with me or not. Totally up to you. But dizruns.com/coaching. So like I said, it is officially the end of the month, which means it is officially time for me to answer some questions on the podcast. If you're new to the show, this is something that we do every month, the last either Monday or Wednesday, whichever is the actual last of the month, or you know, whichever the one is later. So if the month ends on a Monday or a Tuesday, it's Monday. If it ends on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's a Wednesday. I think you can figure that part out. But we dedicate one episode of the show to simply answering questions and to get your questions answered on a future episode of the show. You can send me the questions any way you want, but the best way to make sure that they don't get overlooked in the crowded and quite frankly unruly email box or, you know, Twitter messages or whatever, is to join the Facebook group, which you can get to if you're just scrolling Facebook, search for the Diz Runs Tribe and come on and join us. Or if you're, you know, want a link, if you're that kind of person, which I'm that kind of person, dizruns.com/Facebook. I'll redirect you right to the page. You click to join. We'll let you in. And as long as you're not kind of, you know, innocent until proven creepy. So as long as you're not on the creepy scale, we'll let you stay. And, you know, you can hang out, join the fun, crack some jokes, post some memes and GIFs. That's a big part of what we do over there. But lots of great running conversation. And every month I put out a post somewhere in the middle of the month that says, hey, what are your questions? And then people give me questions. And that's how I have the questions to answer in these monthly episodes. So enough housekeeping, house cleaning, whatever what I want to call it. Let's go ahead and dive into this month's batch of questions. So the first one, let me pull those up right now. That would probably be helpful, eh? The first question comes from Ben, who asks, from all of your conversations with runners, what is something that you've learned that you think that all runners should think about or consider? This was one of those questions that made me really stop and think for a minute, because I think there's a lot of things. You know, I'm all in right now on the slow down, run easy type of method, which that's going to be something that comes up in a few other questions as we go. But trying to think a little bit bigger, trying to think outside of just the realm of training philosophies or training strategies or this, that, and the other, to answer this question from Ben. And I think that the answer that I'm going to settle upon is that we all need to remember, no matter how fast or slow or whatever, you know, wherever you are on the scale right now, as far as, you know, from the best runner in the world to wherever you are. You know, I don't think that there's a worst runner in the world. So from the world's best, the world's elite, to all of us mortals, wherever you are on that scale, there's always somebody that's looking up to you. Always somebody that's wishing that they could run as well as you do. And I know that for some of us that are, you know, in the 10, 11, 12, 15 minute per mile, 20 minute per mile pace, it can feel like there's nobody in the world that thinks that what you're doing is special. But there is. They're out there. They're watching. You're inspiring people. And I think that we should all maybe remember that. Keep that in mind, that when we're, you know, complaining about a bad run or embarrassed because of a finish time or the splits we ran or whatever it might be. And I think it's safe to say that we all have those runs. We all have those runs that don't go according to plan, that we bail on them early, that just could never hit the paces that we were aiming for. When we have those runs, no matter how bad we think that they were, there's other people that would love to have that quote unquote bad run. You know, that would be their PR. That would be their PB. That would be their dream day at the office, if you will, is a day that we're almost embarrassed about sometimes or upset about or dejected or just not happy with. So to keep that in mind, and along a similar vein, maybe it wouldn't be a bad thing if all of us posted our bad runs once in a while on social media as quickly as we are to post our good runs. You know, you scroll through Instagram, scroll through Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is, and there's no shortage of, you know, great run, so happy, running with a smile on your face, like this posed picture that I still don't understand how people get those pictures, those running shots that, you know, you just, they kind of irk me, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, not those runs aren't, those are more the exception than the rule, yet if you look on social media, it looks like that's, every runner has those days, and I think that we would all be well reminded to remind our followers, remind those people that are looking up to us, that are struggling, even if we don't know that they're looking up to us, remind them that, hey, you know what? I'm human. I'm a runner. I have some bad runs as well. Probably more bad runs than good runs. If I'm, at least for me, I don't know, maybe you're special. But for me, more bad runs than good runs. And maybe I should post about those more often. And that's something I've talked about before. Maybe time to follow through on that a little bit, but great question, Ben. Thanks for making me think a little bit for the first question. You know, dive right in with the heavy hitter right off the bat. I appreciate it. Next question comes from Carl. Says, when training in the winter with snow and ice for a spring marathon, how do I account for pacing? I do most runs by feel with some workouts in the last 5 to 6 weeks that include some marathon pace training. Should I just forget about the pace right now? Yeah, basically, that's my thought. You know, based on the conditions, if you're out running in the snow and ice, you know, you can only do so much, and you don't want to take any unnecessary risks by trying to push marathon pace now or trying to push a good hard speed workout right now. You know, those workouts have a time and a place, and they're not a terrible thing to do. But, you know, if the conditions aren't allowing it, if you're not feeling good, if you've got too many layers on and you're not able to feel like you're able to run free, things like that, then let's not stress about the pace. Run by feel, get a good, you know, keep those easy runs easy. That's always going to be important. That's always going to be my first bit of advice for anybody, anywhere. At least at this point with where I am and learning about running and my own running and experimenting on myself, erring on the side of easy runs as opposed to marathon pace training runs or half marathon pace or tempos or speed work, whatever. Err on the side of easy, keep building that base, keep improving your aerobic fitness, and that's going to do way more for you on race day than trying to nail your marathon pace workouts or things like that when you're still 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 14 weeks out. So build that aerobic base by keeping your runs easy, and that's always going to be the best thing you can do for yourself when it comes to training for a race of any distance, really, unless you're training for a 100-meter dash, which you're clearly not. You're training for a spring marathon. Build that aerobic base, and that's going to be the best thing you can do to help you hit those goals in this spring. Good luck. Good luck. Hope, you know, obviously looking forward to continue to hear how things go, Carl, but good luck with the training. Good luck with your race. Next question coming from Michelle. She says, I know you're a big fan of ultra running shoes. Are ultras good for long runs, like 10 to 14 miles, or are they best for the shorter runs? Oh, Michelle. Ultras are good for everything. You know, clearly I'm all in on all things ultra. Like you said, like you referenced in the question there, I am a big fan. But they really truly, you know, the shoes are good for just about anything. And you know, there's different types of shoes, of course. So there's some that are a little bit thinner, that maybe some people wouldn't like to wear those as long. Although I know folks that wear the most minimal ultra shoes and wear them for 50 mile ultra marathons and 100 mile ultra marathons and things like that. So, It's all up to you. But any of the shoes that you get from Ultra, and you know, let's not kid ourselves. Pretty much any shoe that you get from any good maker of shoes these days, you know, even though they may be designed for something a little bit longer, a little bit shorter, you can pretty much wear them for just about any type of thing, provided that you know, you try them out and just see how it goes. You know, sometimes a little bit thinner, you maybe want something with a little bit more cushion if you're training for a marathon. And some people don't need that extra little bit of cushion in their shoes. So it's all up to you. But yeah, the shoes, I mean, I wore Ultras for everything that, every mile I've run basically in the last few years, except for I had a few miles where I was testing a pair of shoes, over at Running Shoes Guru. I was testing some shoes. So I was out of my Ultras for a week or two. But otherwise, I mean, I've everything I've done, marathons, ultra marathon, one ultra marathon, half marathons, everything has been in Ultras. And you know, typically my feet are the only things that, aren't bothering me. I take that back. I've, you know, had pretty good health in the last few years as far as aches and pains and things like that. But I've never had any foot problems, never had any sore feet, tired feet, things like that from wearing Ultras, no matter how far I've run. So, didn't mean to turn this into a big commercial for Ultra, but to answer your question, yeah, you can wear them for whatever you want. As long as you've got a good pair of shoes that feels good on your feet, you keep going. No problems there. No need to limit your runs in your Ultras. As long as you're adjusted to them and adapted to them, you don't mind the zero drop thing, because that can cause people a little bit of a problem when they're first getting into them. But otherwise, you are good to go. Next question from Melody. She says, if you could give only one piece of advice to a new runner, what would it be? Boy, this is kind of the introduction to a whole batch of questions where I'm going to be talking about running easy. But that's really it. Don't get caught up in your, you know, if I could only tell one thing to a new runner, don't get caught up in the speed workouts. Don't get caught up in the flashy running fast. You know, if you want to improve, you want to, to get faster, to run farther, to stay injury free, all of those things, the best thing you can do is get comfortable running easy. And it feels awkward at first. And for some folks that are, you know, very new to the sport, it can seem like, well, that means I'm going to mostly be walking, because as soon as I start running, my heart rate gets up too high. That's okay. Build that aerobic base, get stronger, start with a run walk, whatever you got to do to keep your heart rate in check to keep it truly easy. But if you continue to do that, you continue to build up, you will get your heart and lungs will get stronger. You'll get more efficient on the cardio front, which means that you're going to be able to maintain that same level of exertion, that same level of effort. It's still going to feel easy, but you're going to keep getting faster. And I've gone all in the last couple of months on nothing but easy. And from the first part of December until the end of January, I did the same route, the same everything, kind of a test type of thing. Talked about it in the email I sent out the other day. But basically, all things the same level of exertion, same distance, same exact course, 20 seconds per mile faster from 2 months of just heart rate training. So, you know, And a newer runner is going to see probably an even bigger jump in that, because, you know, you're starting from scratch and all, you know, no matter what you do as a new runner, you're going to see a bigger jump usually in that situation, because there's so much progress to be gained. So run easy, keep things comfortable. And it's amazing to me how effective that can be, and how, especially people that have been running for a while are hesitant to the idea of slowing down. They think they're going to lose all their fitness. And I was there too. I thought that as well, but it's just not the case. So, best piece of advice I can give to a new runner, and probably to any runner, slow down, run easy the vast, vast, vast majority of the time. And it's going to help you get faster. I promise. Next question comes from, Monica. If all of a runner's speed work is done on the treadmill, can they get faster? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Though, you know, first answer, then I'm gonna be a little bit sneaky on here, Monica, but yeah, I mean, if you're doing, you know, if you're stuck inside, you live somewhere where the weather says you can't get outside, or you're not comfortable getting outside early in the mornings, whatever it might be, you're stuck on the treadmill. Yeah, there's no reason you can't get faster doing that. You can do a tempo run. You can do longer repeats, things like that. The real short things probably don't work as well on the treadmill. So something like a 1 minute hard versus 1 minute, you know, recovery. That's too much going up and down, speeding up, slowing down on the treadmill. It's probably not going to be a very good workout. And also the higher the intensities, you know, some workout or some treadmills just don't go fast enough to get to that point. But longer repeats, longer intervals, you know, tempo runs, things like that, those all can be done on the treadmill. But now it's time to be sneaky again. Like I just answered in Melody's question there, the best bet might be to focus on building your aerobic base, staying easy, not worrying about the treadmill or not worrying about the speed workouts, and you'll get faster that way too. Less wear and tear, you know, so there's that. So, and if you're going to do that, you can certainly do that on the treadmill, and it might almost be easier because you don't have to worry about regulating your pace. You can find what that comfortable pace is, keep an eye on your heart rate, but if your pace is staying the same, your heart rate's going to probably level out pretty well too. And you know, you'll be able to hold that easy intensity level. And that is kind of a magic recipe to helping you get faster. It's I know it sounds somewhat counterintuitive, but boy, it works. And I'm doing the experiment on myself this all of this year. Basically nothing but easy run. I'll do a few hard workouts here and there, but just mostly easy miles and racing. And we'll see what happens. And I'll be sure to continue to report back. But hopefully that helps, Monica. And you know, if you want to push it on the treadmill once in a while, go for it. It's okay. But your best gains are going to come from just keeping things nice and easy. Next question, easy for me to say, comes from Ava. She says, I know you've talked about us needing to be concerned about diet in the months leading up to a race instead of just focusing on the days leading up to it, but just how quote unquote clean should your diet be if you're trying to improve in the marathon? You know, this is a loaded question, and I'm not going to tell anyone that you can never indulge, that you can never have something, you know, some type of comfort food, some type of sweet dessert, things like that. But that said, you know, the more consistent you can be with your diet, the more clean you can be on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, the better your health is going to be, the better, you know, the quicker your recovery is going to be from your workouts, the more rested you're going to feel, the better your legs are going to bounce back, the stronger you're going to get, the more endurance you're going to have, the healthier you're going to be. So you're not going to miss time, miss workouts due to being sick or having a little, you know, lingering injury or something like that. So, eating healthy, eating well, eating clean is, you know, I mean, just as being a healthy person, and as runners, I mean, the healthier we are, usually the better we're going to be, as runners, is just kind of, you know, part of what we sign up for. And, you know, so often you see these posts on social media where it's like, hey, you know, doing the miles to eat all the donuts or doing the miles to have all the ice cream or whatever it is. And, you know, it's okay to have, like I said, it's okay to have a treat once in a while, have a special occasion, but we need to differentiate between I finished my long run on Saturday. Like, that's not a special occasion. Like, that's you finished your long run on a Saturday. All right. Carry on. Life is carrying on, you know, birthdays, holidays, things like that, that are legitimate special occasions, maybe 5, 6, 8 of them a year. You know, whatever, go ahead, have some ice cream, have some cake, have a treat, whatever. You know, Friday isn't a special occasion, you know, the weekend isn't a special occasion. Like, those things happen every 5, 6, 7 days. Okay. So, you know, I think that eat clean most of the time, or eat as healthy as you can most of the time. And when it's truly a special occasion, it's okay to, you know, indulge a little bit. But again, that's not for everybody, and I'm not trying to say that you have to be perfect. We're all going to have some areas where maybe you enjoy a glass of wine most days, or maybe you like this or you like that or whatever. It's fine. But the better we can eat on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, it is going to impact our training. And if you're looking to trim, you know, some time off your paces to stay healthy, things like that. Addressing the diet is one area that is often overlooked. We're always looking for the training solution, and maybe the solution is eating a little bit better. And maybe that's kind of the missing piece that's going to give you that next breakthrough, to bump up over the plateau that maybe you're finding yourself on. So hope all that helps, Ava. Hope that makes sense. You know, and when in doubt, when it comes to diet, you can never do wrong with adding a few more veggies to your diet. You know, that's certainly an area that I struggle in, trying to get better there, but you can always eat more greens, have more green smoothies, as long as it's not got a bunch of sugar and sweet and stuff like that in it, like strictly greens basically, or maybe just a little bit of fruit to counteract some of that, the green flavor. But you know, the more greens, the better for all of us, whether you're vegetarian, carnivore, whatever, anywhere in between, eat some vegetables. They're good for you. Plenty of vitamins, nutrition, fiber, minerals, all the things we need are in the greens most of the time. So that's, I'll step off my diet soapbox at this point, but again, hopefully all that helps. And kind of was trying to linger on that question as long as possible, because I don't like the next question coming from my friend Kat down under in Australia, holding me to the fire, which is probably a good thing. She asks, when's the book coming? Yes, you got me, zinger. The book. All right, so here's the latest update on the book, and thank you again for everybody who's been so patient. I was anticipating that the book would be finished. Gosh, we're getting almost to a year ago now. April, maybe May at the latest of 2017, and here we are, end of January 2018, still not finished, but the light is officially at the end of the tunnel. I've got about 50 pages, 60 pages, something like that, of final edits that I need to just look through, and there's very little, if any, editing right now. It's all kind of formatting, making sure things are right and uniform and consistent throughout the book. And once that's finished, which hopefully will be today, as I'm recording this, maybe tomorrow, but certainly this week, it'll get sent back to the publisher. We'll get the hard copy to make sure that everything came through right with between the, you know, the digital, the transition to the physical. And as long as that's the case and there's nothing random that needs to be corrected at that point, we're finished. We're finished. So it is finally getting there. February should be the month. I've hesitated to put, expected timelines on things because life happens and things get pushed around a little bit and bumped back. And sometimes it's my fault and sometimes it's not. But I think we can start counting by weeks instead of by months. And I think that we're within 3 or 4 weeks of, hopefully less than that, but 3 or 4 weeks. And the books should be in everyone's hand who pre-ordered. And if you didn't pre-order, once it's available, you will know about it. I'll be singing it from the treetops. And you can grab yourself a copy of Be Ready on Race Day, which is coming soon. And if you want to check out more info about it, if you're not sure, haven't heard about it, BeReadyOnRaceDay.com is the website. So thank you, Kat. Thanks for busting my balls a little bit on that. Probably well-deserved. But it's coming, I promise. So Hiawatha's got the next question. He says, is it okay to just take off the winter from running? To just do the elliptical and some other cardio indoors? He says he's asking for a friend who just can't do the cold running when it's less than 30 degrees. Absolutely. You know, ultimately, when it comes down to it, you know, if this is going to sound worse than I mean it to, and I don't mean it this way, but if you're just kind of can't handle the cold weather and running outside in the cold weather, then don't do it. You know, everybody's got their own threshold, their own level of it. When it gets below this, it's just too cold for me. And our friend Jen likes to say, it's not so much that it's too cold, but that you don't have the right gear. But maybe it is just too cold. Maybe you just don't like being out when it's that cold. That's fine. Do what you need to do. Stick inside. Do some other cardio. Do some cross training. Do some strength training, some yoga, things like that, so you're still staying active. Your fitness isn't going to suffer that much. But if you don't do much running for, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that, through the heart of the cold winter, you are going to notice that when you get back out there running, that maybe your fitness hasn't dropped off much. It might drop off a little bit, but probably not going to be much. But those running muscles that you're not going to use when you're doing the elliptical, that you're not going to use with strength training or on the bike or things like that, there's just a little bit of some aches and pains that are probably going to crop back in that may take you a few weeks or a month or maybe a little bit longer than that to kind of really resolve and feel like you're back to where you were in the fall before the winter came in. So, again, if you don't like running in the cold and maybe don't like getting on the treadmill as well, if you're okay with that, if you're okay with maybe just taking just a slight step back in the spring, then that's fine. That's fine. You don't have to, none of us have to run. I mean, I guess I would say that I have to run, but I don't like, it's not life or death if I don't run. Although again, maybe it would be, maybe I'd be so depressed if I couldn't run that it wouldn't be, I would just force myself to get out there and do it or force myself to get on the treadmill and do it. But, if it's too cold, then don't worry about it. Do some other things, keep improving your fitness, keep working on getting stronger and things like that. And maintaining your cardio level with some cross training, and then just ease back into it in the spring, and it won't be long before you'll be right back to where you were when you left off. So tell your friend Hiawatha that it's all good. Do what you need to do in the wintertime and get back out there when the weather is back above 30. When it's back above freezing, get yourself back outside. Tell your friend to get his or herself back outside. Few more questions left. I think we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more to go. Next one comes from Ed. Says, I'm 62 and 2 years back to running after a 25-year break. I'm having trouble finding training information and plans geared for someone my age. I've run several 5 and 10Ks on both the roads and the trails, and I've signed up for a half marathon in June. I know I will need to be better trained for the longer distance. So looking for training advice for somebody who's a little bit older and welcoming and coming back to the sport and welcome back. I mean, wow. After 25 years, you decide to get back into it at age 60, and hopefully things have gone well in the last couple of years for you, Ed. It's exciting to see. I'm sure that going back to the question earlier, or said that people are always inspired by the things we're doing. There's no doubt in my mind that the people that are in your circles and know you are inspired by the fact that, you know, at 60 years old, you decided to get back into running, and now you're working towards a half marathon this year. That's awesome. Congratulations. And really, you know, when it comes to training, there's not a huge, you know, differentiation between something that you should be doing and something that somebody that's half your age should be doing. Obviously there's some physiological differences. But you know, the same thing that I would tell somebody who was 30 years old and had been running for a couple of years and getting ready for their first half marathon is a lot of it's going to apply to you as well. Most of your runs, do them easy. You know, listen to your body. If you're feeling sore, feeling tired, things like that, something's not right, take an extra day off, do some of the little things, the strength training, the foam rolling, the stretching, things like that. You know, the biggest thing that I'm sure you've probably realized after a couple of years of you being back in the sport is that what you could do 25 years ago, as far as paces and things like that, and what you can do now, they're not the same. You know, you've gotten older, things have changed, body's changed, physiologically we're different, you know, when we're 60 than we are when we're 30. But otherwise, you know, the philosophy of how to train doesn't change. Just the paces do, maybe the volume. You probably can't run quite as much now as you could 25 years ago because, you know, you can't handle the same volume that you could when you were 30. Again, recovery, it's a little bit longer. So just, you know, lower those expectations, which I'm going to assume from some of the other conversations we've had that you're not aiming for a new PB from where you were, you know, 25, 30 years ago to now. So, you know, try not to overthink it. The process is pretty much the same. Keep those easy runs easy. You know, adjust what easy is based on where you are right now, and just, you know, gradually build back up. But you know the everything else pretty much is universal. You know, listen to your body. Give yourself plenty of time. You know, for between now and June, it's plenty of time to build up to doing 21K, 13 miles. I don't want to sound like I'm blowing off your question, but I don't think that you need to find necessarily just something geared for people in their 50s and 60s. I think that it's pretty easy to modify things. Like I said, just keep the easy runs easy. Maybe do minimal speed work and just focus on staying in the aerobic zone. And that's going to help you get faster. It's going to help you avoid injuries. It's going to help you avoid any extra wear and tear and stress and pounding. And it's going to get you to the start line healthy and confident and fully able to run that first half marathon in 25 plus years. So certainly looking forward to staying in touch, Ed. I know you'll keep us updated on how things are going, and can't wait to hear how things go in June for you. But if any other questions, obviously we are here. So let us know, let me know, and we will try to keep you on the straight and narrow, healthy, and moving towards a successful return to the half marathon. Next question comes from my cousin Suzanne, aka Susie. We've had that discussion before. She's proper now, so she uses her proper name. But you know, when it's family, it's family. But anyway, Suzanne asks, you know, this was coming. First time marathoner, she's getting ready to take the leap into marathonhood. She said, "What is your best piece of training advice? Would you focus on training plans, rest, sleep, nutrition? If you could only choose one thing to focus on, even though she knows that all of them are important." I'm going to kind of harken back up to some questions from earlier and also to kind of what I just said to Ed. Suze, the best thing you can do is keep those easy runs easy. Focus on really building that base, building your aerobic fitness. You know, it's okay to go hard once in a while, but for the most part, if you keep your training in that easy zone, don't get too overzealous and don't get too worried about the fact that you're quote unquote only running at whatever that pace is when you're easy. It's going to build your base. It's going to, you know, improve your heart and lungs and keep you very efficient cardiovascularly. You're going to keep getting faster because your heart's going to get stronger. You're going to be more efficient as a runner, which means you're going to be able to run harder, run faster, run faster at the same level of intensity. And that's the name of the game. And, honestly, I mean, when it comes to first time marathon, you know, a second piece of advice beyond just run easy is just have fun. Keep it fun. You're going to PR, you know, it's the first time doing it. As long as you finish, it's a PR. So, worry less about the time, less about the pace, more about just getting those easy miles in, building that base up. And, you might surprise yourself on race day, how good you feel and how much that allows you to push a little bit harder and, maybe even surpass whatever goals that I'm sure you've probably got already rattling around in your head. So, keep it easy. And that's kind of the name of the game. Keep it easy, keep it slow and steady, and you're going to do just fine. Next question comes from Jason. This is training advice for long runs in heavy rain/downpour. Yeah, here's some advice for you, Jason. Have fun. I'm a big fan of running in the rain. I've talked about that several times, although I will put the caveat out there that I'm not such a big fan of running in the rain in the wintertime when it's chilly outside. You know, if it's 40 degrees, 50 degrees, something like that, and it's really raining hard, like that's kind of miserable. So I don't know where you are in this great big world, but if it's cold and chilly and you're trying to run in the rain, you're a better man than I am. But otherwise, you know, kind of all kidding aside, if you're going to run in the rain, which I enjoy, there's nothing wrong with that. Do remember that motorists, if you're running on roads, drivers aren't drivers. You could make the argument that drivers don't look for pedestrians anyway, or runners anyway. But when it's raining out, they're definitely not looking for runners. They're definitely assuming that there's nobody out there. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If you talk to law enforcement officers, police officers, sheriff's department deputies, whatever, they will tell you that when a car hits a pedestrian, 99 times out of 100, the driver never saw the person, never saw the person running, never saw the person on the bike. They look right through them. And the reason for that is biological. Our brains are filtering out information that we're not expected to see. So when we're driving, we're expecting to see other cars, other vehicles, things like that, that's what we're looking for. So you may see a runner, but it doesn't register in your brain. And so they're crossing the street, you're turning the corner, and bam, collision. Car wins every time. Not a good situation to be in. So as runners, we always need to be wary and aware of traffic, but especially at times when drivers really don't anticipate that there might be a runner out there. Because I try to, you know, for myself, I try to be pretty good about recognizing that if I'm in a neighborhood somewhere, any time of day, there could be somebody running, because I'm guilty of running in the roads any time of day. But you know, so even though I'm aware of it, if it's pouring down rain, if it's sleeting and snowing and things like that, I try to think that I would still be aware and still looking for runners, but I know that probably I'm not going to be. So, you know, if you're out there in the rain, when I'm running in the rain, I'm always extra careful, extra aware of making sure that I'm wearing bright colored clothes, something that's going to stand out, something that is going to make sure to catch the attention of anybody who's driving by, something that's reflecting, maybe night gear, even though it's not nighttime, things like that. So be very cautious, careful, wary of cars if you're running in the rain. But otherwise, have fun. And when it comes to drying your shoes, take them off, obviously. Take the insole out and just lay them down in front of the vent at the bottom of your refrigerator. Your shoes will be bone dry in the morning, guaranteed. It's a simple trick. The warm, dry air that comes out of the refrigerator from the compressor, keeping things cool in the refrigerator, will dry your shoes out super quickly and avoid the annoying noise of putting your shoes in the dryer. It works every time. You're welcome for the bonus tip. But thanks for the question, Jason. Two questions left. One coming from my man Shelby out in the Pacific Northwest. Says, coming back from a long layoff from an injury, in general, how slow should I come back? I haven't been doing much for cardio, so my conditioning can't be very good. Should I treat it more like couch to 5K type of thing, or just base it on feel? Yes, Shelby, yes. Kind of a blend of both. But definitely, you know, you want to ease into it slow, take it nice and gentle, especially with knowing a little bit about what your injury was. You know, you definitely don't want to have any extra wear and tear, pounding, things like that. So ease back in, you know, maybe a run walk type of thing would be good, which is kind of where the couch to 5K thing, you know, kind of would be part of the solution. Whether you actually follow the program or not is totally up to you, but just listen to your body. Ease in, you know, 1 or 2 days a week for the first couple weeks, and maybe 2 to 3 days for a while after that, until you really start feeling good, feeling comfortable, feeling like you're making some progress back. Don't force it. Don't try to overdo it. Don't try to push the pace. Be very conservative. You know, run nothing but easy, no speed work, nothing fast, nothing high intensity, nice and easy. Maybe some run walk probably wouldn't be a bad thing either. But listen to your body and definitely, you know, I would tell everybody and have told a few people today, you know, err on the side of caution, err on the side of going slow instead of fast. And especially for anyone coming back from injury and you as well, you know, don't take any unnecessary risks. There's no reason to right now. Get back into it nice and easy. And it won't be long before, you know, sometime this summer you'll be back to where you were, but it's just going to take some time. Like you said, you haven't done much in several months. So it's going to take probably several months to get back to where you were. And that's okay. It's part of the process, part of the recovery and the healing. And hopefully we don't have any type of crazy injuries like this that you're going to have to deal with again down the road. So, glad you're back. Glad that the first few runs have been going well for you, but, yeah, keep the expectations low. Listen to your body, nice and easy. And hopefully it won't be long before you're back to where you were, you know, a year ago at this time. And then the last question, another one from Monica. She says a little bit of a buildup here. But she says, I'm in a building aerobic endurance / losing fat / leaning up / getting into racing shape phase. I am training with a heart rate based program to help me reach those goals. It has me running slow for like 95% of my runs. My fastest runs don't have me going over 80% max heart rate anyway. And I'm usually in the 60-70% maximum heart rate range. So she's running slow. And it's all good though, blah, 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 blah. My question, if I incorporate body pump 2 days a week to ensure I get strength training in to help with losing fat, gaining muscle, which is definitely needed, is that a good idea? It seems to be an easy way to get strength training done and over, but I worry about building muscles not needed for running, if such a thing even exists. So yes, Monica, to answer the first part of your question, go for it. If a body pump class is something that you would enjoy doing, is something that you're able to fit into your schedule, things like that, go for it. That's a great way to get that strength training in. Like you said, it's probably going to spike your heart rate up a little bit higher. Usually those pump classes kind of do that. But you're going to get the strength training in, which is something that is good for you. As for the last part of your question, you know, can you build muscles that are not needed for running? Well, of course you can, but don't worry about getting big and bulky muscle, things like that. You know, that's not what's going to happen. You know, I've said before, I'll say again that building muscle, building big muscle mass, there's a structure to do that. You need to lift lots of heavy weights, not a lot of reps, things like that. And it takes time to do that. So as runners, you know, doing a body pump class a couple times a week, you're not going to be lifting, you know, maximal amounts on the squats and the bench press and things like that. And also as a woman, you know, you don't have the type of testosterone that is necessary to build lots and lots of muscle quickly. It's just not going to happen. So don't stress about building too much muscle or things like that. And as for building some muscle and doing some strength training exercises that aren't going to benefit you for running, yeah, you're probably going to, but so what? It's going to benefit you for life. You know, it's going to benefit you for work, for playing with kids or whatever other things you've got going on in your life, other activities beyond running, you know, being strong and fit and healthy. Like that's a good thing. There's nothing bad about that. So, you know, so what if you do some, you know, do some chest presses or things like that, that build your upper chest or your upper back or whatever, your biceps, triceps, things like that certainly don't have much function for running, but they have plenty of function for balanced health, you know, just life, everyday life, things like that. So, you know, I don't see any reason to avoid the muscle pump classes. Yes, strength training is important for all of us runners, everybody else, not just Monica. We all need to be doing our strength training. And if doing a little class like that helps make it happen, go for it. Rock on, sister. But yeah, go for the muscle pump classes. Nothing wrong there. Good on you for slowing down and focusing on that phase of your training. I think it's important. And as I've said a few times, maybe something that's overlooked and something that all of us would do better with, adding a little bit more of those easy runs, those low heart rate runs in. They build the base. They're valuable. They're valuable. And I'm not gonna go on too much longer about that because I'm going to be going on about that in quick tips and in other things, all over the place in the next several months and maybe even beyond. So get ready to hear me talk a lot about heart rate training and easy runs and even more so than I already have. But that is where we'll put a bow on things. Thank you everybody for your questions this month. Hope that the answers were at least somewhat helpful. That's always the goal, is to try to help with the questions. And sometimes I think we are successful. And sometimes I kind of wonder a little bit if my answers are help or hurt, you know, maybe muddy the waters and be more confusing than what we're going for. But hopefully to everybody that submitted the questions and everybody who's just listening in, hopefully you learned a little something today. Hopefully you maybe started to figure out that I'm a proponent of slowing down. And like I said, I will continue to preach that message as we go. But until next time, thank you guys for listening. Thanks for the questions. Again, disruns.com/coaching. If you've got information or want information about some coaching options and how I might be able to help you reach your running goals this year, would love to talk to you and answer any questions that you might have. So let me know. And until then, please be well, take good care. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of the day and have a great February. Can't believe it's already February, but have a great new month and we'll talk soon. See you guys.